السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. Over the past few weeks we have been discussing Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali's nasihat to all the Salikin. And each and every one of us should consider ourselves as amongst the Salikin. Which person can say that he does not want complete deen in his life? Which person can say that he is not in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love and muhabbat and obedience and the love and obedience to Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If a person says he is a Muslim and the address on Jummah occasion is to a Muslim congregation, so therefore no one can say that we are not in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love, muhabbat, obedience, etc. So we have discussed that first part where he says that whoever, in other words, whoever claims that he is a Muslim and whoever claims that he is going to enter into Jannat, then it is obligatory, it is necessary, it is compulsory that he must have these four things in his life. If he doesn't have that, then no matter how bold and loud claims he makes that I am a Jannati because I believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his claims will be false, they will not carry any weight. The first one which we have discussed at some length over the weeks is the aqidahs, that the person's aqaid have to be very, very solid and very strong. Firm and strong belief in all the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as he is with all his names and qualities. In fact, we teach the little children in class 1 or grade 1, or even earlier than that, the mothers, they teach the little children, or they used to teach in those days, which unfortunately now, because of our television viewing times and all other occupations, we have neglected. But from day 1, they used to teach, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا هُوَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِهِ. I believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as He is with all His names and qualities. And I have accepted all Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's orders. Now if somebody has to ask that little child of 2 years and 3 years of age, which orders of Allah ta'ala did that child accept? That little child is being taught that I accepted all Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam, all His orders. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam brought from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Jamima Jabihin Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I have believed in all that and I've accepted all those orders. Now that little child does not even know how to even take care of its own hygiene, where it's going to know what are all the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But from that age it is being pumped into the heart of the child that a day will come in your life when you will become mature in age. And then all the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be directed at you. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and all the other teachings of Islam. So from now, every day that child is being taught, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا هُوَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. And in there all the sifats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is Razzaq, He is the sustainer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Now all these things are being instilled from those days, from the childhood days, so that when the person grows up and when he becomes mature in age, then the person realizes and understands what the meaning was of all that which was accepting. Because if the person truly believes that Allah Ta'ala is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, And Allah Ta'ala is powerful and is almighty. And His Qudrat has got no limits. His power has got no limits. Then the person will not indulge in sins. Nevertheless, so we have discussed some part of aqaid, that the person must have firm belief. Now let us go on to the second part. He says that whosoever it may be, if he is a Muslim and he is claiming that he has got love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or has believed in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this person must not go anywhere near sins. Now this is exactly what he is saying. Or what he is saying is exactly what the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say. Now we take it for granted a little bit of namaz in our lives, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of dini khidmat and service, a little bit of some generosity and kindness that we show to somebody, or a little bit of deen in our lives, and we immediately lay a claim to Jannat. Now he says that the person must not go close to sins. Accidentally, if the person committed some sins, then istighfar and tawbah in abundance. The person must not feel satisfied until he has really teared before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He must not feel happy in his sins. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states, Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a great companion, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states, عن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عن أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سأله رجل. A person asked Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. حضرت أبو أمامة says, a person asked Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما الإيمان? What is إيمان? Now there can be many, many answers, and different things have been mentioned in different hadiths of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. But here look at the beautiful answer. And it's only a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who could have given such an answer, which is an ocean in just one statement. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاعَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That when your good deeds, they please you, and when your evil deeds, they hurt you. That means when you do good deeds, then it gives you happiness, it gives you satisfaction, it gives you some kind of excitement. It gives you a pleasure in your heart. Then, and when your evil deeds give you a pain in your heart, they give you a hurt and injury, grief and sorrow, whatever meaning you can give to it, that it really hurts you. You don't feel happy over your sins. Then you are a mu'min. Now this is what he told Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says this is what reply Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to that companion who asked, what is iman? Now we just have to x-ray our own lives in the light of this little hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I discussed at length in one of the majlises. That just one small hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when your good deeds give you happiness, your namaz gives you happiness, your zikr gives you happiness, your tilawat gives you happiness, when you make khidmat and service of your parents, they give you happiness. When you give charities and donations, they give you happiness. When you assist the poor, the needy, the destitute, the refugees, it gives you happiness. In whichever way you do any good deed, irrespective of what that good deed is, any khidmat and service of whether deen or the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it gives you great amount of satisfaction. And when your sins give you great amount of grief and unhappiness, you find a kind of shame and nadamat in your heart when you commit sins. You don't find excitement, you don't find joy, you don't find happiness. You don't brag about those sins. You don't run to the newspapers and ask them to take a photograph of yourself in those evil places which you are frequenting. The person doesn't feel excited and happy that I was photographed with this film actor and that film actress, and I was seen in this disco and seen in that cultural program where there was music and there was all kinds of haram entertainment, which has become so common that our women folk are also unconcerned that where their pictures are appearing and what subtitle is given and what story is being written about them, that where they are being seen. In other words, the person who is a mu'min, he finds no excitement, no happiness, no pleasure when he is committing sins. In sins he finds a great amount of unhappiness, grief, nadamat, shame. He tears before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that what did I do? Ya Allah, your given bounties are used for your disobedience. Because what else is the person doing except using Allah ta'ala's bounties for his disobedience? If Allah ta'ala had to have an usul and principle, or that was his policy, or that was his habit, that the moment the person gazed at haram, then the person went blind. The person, the moment touched haram, then he was paralyzed. The moment he walked towards haram, his feet gave up. Then what would a person would have committed sins? So who is it that is giving us these ni'mats? 24 hours of the day we make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And when the strength and health comes in the body, then we say, now go to the cinema, go to the disco, go to the theater and commit adultery, commit fornication and watch all the filth on the internet sites and watch all the haram on the television. Now this is what we do with that great bounty of just sight. All the other things we're not even talking about. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when your good deeds give you happiness, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَاتُكَ, and when your evil deeds, they give you a grief, they give you pain, it causes you hurt, causes you kind of an injury in your heart, and you don't find any kind of peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction until you have made plenty of tawbah and pleased that Allah. Because we are human beings, we are bound to make mistakes and err. But this is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, that the person who says that he is a salik, the person who says that I want a connection with my Allah, the person who says that I am the lover of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I've got iman in my heart and I've got belief in Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teachings, so then that person must first of all have his aqaid right, and with together with that, the second thing is that he must not go close to sins. He must not go close to sins, not commit sins. Accidentally the person slips, accidentally the person falls, or the person is driving wide awake, alert, and he makes an accident, so that's an accident. But purposely the person does not go in search of sins. So he says that is a second requirement, it is an essential requirement. Now we can go on discussing that, but today I want to take on the third point. The third thing that he mentions, which is very essential and very, very important for whosoever claims that he is a Muslim, and whosoever claims that he is a mu'min, and whosoever claims that Jannat is his, Allah Ta'ala has reserved a place for him there. Whoever claims that he has got solid iman in his heart, then the person must deal with his friends and foes, with his friends and his enemies, in such a manner that no person's right is violated. Now listen carefully to what he's saying. He says the person must deal with both his friends and his enemies, not only with friends and his enemies, in such a manner in this world that the rights of none are violated. Even the rights of the enemy must not be violated. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Now there we are getting a very clear direction, that the enmity of any person, any group, any people, any organization or anybody, the enmity of any people must not cause us diversion from justice. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says you must be fair and just. The person can be your enemy. You can be hating that person for whatever reason. But there must be complete justice in your dealing. That is close to taqwa. So Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi is saying exactly the same thing. He says, whoever you may be, if you are claiming that you are a Muslim, if you are claiming that you are a mu'min, if you are claiming that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's love and muhabbat you have in your heart, or you want to reach them and you want to get their qurb and marifat and their muhabbat, then there is no other way out but to have your aqidahs right, don't go near sins, and accidentally if you commit sins then make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. And the third thing, that when dealing with anybody, whether that person is your friend or he is your enemy, don't violate his rights. Even the enemy has got certain rights. We have got no right to slander the enemy. He's an enemy, but we've got no right to slander. If there is something that does not exist in him, there is some weakness that does not exist in him, but just because of our enmity for the person, now we cook up so many weakness and shortcomings of that person. So even that is not permissible. And in our dealings with people, he says that it must be absolute fairness and justice. And the rights are of many, many kinds. Even if a person is owing people money, that is a right of that person that his money must be paid. And especially those who have properties, who have timeshare apartments, and those who have luxury yachts and ships and boats and investments in we do not know how many things, then for them to delay payment and make the creditor sing for his money, that is a violation of his right. So now that person cannot claim that he has got love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cannot claim to be a true salik, no matter how much namazes he makes, no matter how much sajdas he makes, no matter how much he cries at Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah. But here this person, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, says that he is far away from Jannat and far away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if he tramples upon the rights of others, whether they are enemies or whether they are friends. So whether the person is his friend or his enemy, he must check that, am I violating his right? Now many a times it happens that we read a certain story about what has happened in Palestine, what has happened in Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq. It definitely, as Muslims, it definitely hurts us. It grieves us. It pains us. Because any Muslim in any part of the world, if he gets any kind of injury and hurt and pain, then it hurts the entire ummah. But at the same time, we must be very careful about the statements that we make or about the actions that we undertake after listening or reading about such incidents. The anger is in its place, but how do we give vent to that anger? It must not happen that in our hatred and enmity for somebody, then we violate the rights of those people, even though they may be enemies of Islam. But if we want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to be happy and pleased with us, then we will have to remain within the boundaries of Sharia. In whatever action we undertake, we have to consult those who are learned in that field, that to what limit and to what extent can we go. So this is another important thing he says, which is for every Muslim, for every person who claims to be a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everyone who says that he's a salik, that in his dealings with anybody, he must be careful, he must be very cautious, that he must not exceed the limits, he must not go across the line, he must not become now the aggressor, he must now not become the unjust one. Because if we are going to become unjust and we become aggressors, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and nusrat and madad, which was going to come, it will be held back. Now we will have to give more lives and more sacrifices will have to be made again until it reaches a certain limit when Allah ta'ala will send his nusrat and madad and help. There is a whole system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Read the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in the battlefield, and a person who was an enemy of Islam and who was fighting against the Muslims, Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala was about to take his neck off when the person read the kalima. Believing that this person recited the kalima just to save his life, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala took his neck off. When this incident was reported to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he became very unhappy and very displeased. And he said, "Oh Khalid, did you slice his heart and see with what niyat he read the kalima?" Now imagine, right there in the battlefield, but still he has to be so careful that he must not do something that exceeds the limit. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the person spits on his face when he's just about to take his neck off. Now look at the ikhlas that they had and the sincerity that was in the deep recesses of their heart. Now which person at that moment, when he has overpowered the enemy and when he's about to take his neck off, and we know that the enemy also had a sword, and if Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to move, he could have taken Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's neck off. But they were not concerned. The life can go as long as Allah does not become displeased. Their whole life revolved around the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah ta'ala became pleased with them, the empires fell at their feet. So when this person asked, O Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that at that critical juncture you left me and you did not take my neck off. He said, yes, my fight was not for my nafs. It was not for my pleasure. It was for the pleasure of Allah. My enmity, my love, my hatred, everything in other words is for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he said that man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman. The person who loves for the sake of Allah, his love is for not worldly gain and material reasons. It is for the sake of Allah. And his hatred is also for the sake of Allah. And when he gives for the sake of Allah. And when he withholds for the sake of Allah. Then he has perfected his faith. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, it was for the sake of Allah. But when you spat on my face, then my anger now boiled. And now it could have been my nafs that could take over. And if I had taken your neck off, it could have been for the satisfaction of my own self now, that you spat on my face, so now because of that I'm taking your neck off. And no more for the sake of deen and for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now look at their ikhlas right at that very moment. So the person accepted Islam. Incidents like this brought them into the fold of Islam. So that is the third thing that he says, that it is extremely important that whosoever that we deal with, whether the person is our enemy or our foe, or our friend, but we must not deal with a person in such a manner, whether it is in business, whether it is in any other field of life, but we should not deal with the person in such a manner that his right is suppressed and that afterwards we are answerable. We have violated his right. We must be fair and just in our dealing. So that is the third thing that he mentioned. The fourth point, and I will conclude very briefly on that. The fourth thing he said, that it is extremely important, very, very important, that every Muslim, whosoever he may be, he must acquire that much knowledge of deen, which is related to his life. That much knowledge he must acquire. If he's a businessman, he must know about business. If the person is getting married, then he must know what is nikah, what is talaq, what is iddat. He must not fire the bullets of talaq, 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 talaq three times. One way he fires, and after that goes around searching for some Maulana sahab who can make three into one. Because we don't believe in Trinity. One side we say we mustn't believe in Trinity. That is a Christian belief. And on the other hand, when we give three talaqs, then we say, Maulana, make the three into one. Now how can he make it into one if it is three? So the person who is getting married, he must know the rights of the wife, the rights of the children. He must learn all the masail that go with it. When the person is doing business, he must know the masail of business. In whichever field the person is, he says it is extremely important that the person must know the teachings of Sharia and the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah with regards to that aspect of his life. And with regards to other aspects, then to whatever extent it is necessary, he can acquire the knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to learn about the stars and about the moon and about the solar system, and you want to learn about the ocean and you want to learn about some science, there's nothing wrong. Learn that. But what is essential, what is important, and what is obligatory and a duty and a farz upon every Muslim who claims that he's got love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that he is wanting the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that he is wanting entry into Jannah, is that he must acquire the knowledge of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and all the other things that are related to his life. He says, then when the person makes amal on these four things, then this person can now hope that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will enter him into Jannat. That means still he must have great hope, because he'll still have to make a lot of istighfar over his shortcomings. We are human beings. But inshallah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this person will develop such a connection with Allah that he will develop this hope also. That hope will come now because of this amal that he is doing. Allah ta'ala will increase that hope. And inshallah, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy will engulf him and he will enter into Jannah. Now in the light of these four things, we have to check and x-ray our hearts. That to what extent our aqaid are solid. To what extent are we fulfilling the rights of our enemies and our friends. We have to check our hearts in the light of these four things. And if there is weakness and deficiency, so then we must not make bold and loud claims. Every group claims Jannat is mine. So we must check an x-ray and then rectify, remedy. Don't lose hope in Allah Ta'ala. He's very merciful, very forgiving, very kind. The doors of Tawbah are open. He wants us to turn towards Him. So don't be persistent in sins. Restrain ourselves, and especially now these holidays, when every newspaper and every television and radio advert will be inviting us to all the haram places, at that time, take the pain on the heart for the pleasure of Allah, and then see what kind of sukoon and happiness and contentment and rahat Allah Ta'ala will give to us. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah with the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of our Palestinian brothers and sisters and children, and those of Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, all over the world the Muslim Ummah is suffering. So we must continue with our du'as and assistance in whichever way we can. And we must rectify and change our own lives. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.